And we want to welcome all of our friends to what we have called down through the years the Sunday evening evangelistic service. As I preach in your hearing the lifestyle of the messengers of Christ. Part one, and you have heard about the lifestyle of the rich and famous. We're not talking about that, but rather the lifestyle of the messengers of Christ. Part one, a new series within a series, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 760 since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1125 since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and we thank God for the great preaching time we had earlier in the day, and then we thank God for the great Bible study time we've already had, and we thank God for many of you who are coming back for the evening service or the afternoon service, and we thank the Lord for the hundreds that came earlier today, and we always have hundreds at each service, many days, over 1,000. Those hundreds, we're talking primarily about from all of our Periscope lines going out of here on the different accounts, and our Facebook Live lines, cameras that are going out live. So that's just the live. And we got some other live platforms as well. And we thank God for all of the people who come, some who come every day. But be that as it may, Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for several services already today. And thank you for the good that has been wrought in them. Lord, help your people. Help those who claim to be Christians to confess their sins, to repent of their sins, to turn from their evil ways. Lord, help us all to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our evil ways and to humble ourselves and to get back to you, our first love. Help everybody here and out there who names the name of Christ to trust in you, to love you back because you first loved us, to fear you, to respect you, to reverence you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you, and to be the shining lights and witnesses that we should be, and not only pray for more laborers into the field as we dealt with last week and a little bit today, but to go to be those laborers who go into the field to claim the white harvest. We pray for over 3 million souls to come to know you as Savior, 3 million Christians to be revived. We are weak and feeble, but we know that you're strong and mighty. And so, Holy Father God, thank you, Lord, for helping us to accept our weakness so that you can make us strong. Grant us your grace, your strength, your anointing, the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to proclaim your holy gospel, to preach your holy word. Lord, save every soul here who is lost. Revive every Christian here and fill every Bible-believing Christian, every born-again Christian, with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to do their job. For some of us are behind the scenes, some are in the scene, it makes no difference, Lord. You are watching us all, and you want us to be found faithful, so that you can say to us one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Lord, I pray that you will be able to say that to us. And we pray that your holy name would be glorified, Jesus Christ exalted. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit from your throne. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit to fall upon all of the wicked-hearted people here and convict them of their sins, yet they claim to be saved. And Holy Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would not give people rest until you draw them to yourself. I believe with all of my heart you're going to hear and answer my prayer if you have not done so already, and cause us to see well over 3 million people saved, 3 million Christians revived. I have no doubt about it, and I have no fear, because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and salvation. And Lord, we pray that you'll have that to come to pass today, and that your holy name will be glorified in it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. So, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of chapter 9 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus observes to his disciples, as we dealt with thoroughly last week, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. In chapter 10, we see Jesus sending his hand-picked laborers into the harvest field. But he does not send them in their own strength or power. Instead, we read that he gave them power. He gave them power. Do you have the power of the Holy Ghost, as the old folks used to call him, and as the Bible calls him? Do you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your witness for Christ? Or is it just your methods and your ability to communicate? You know, we don't call preachers anymore. We call them great communicators. Regarding this passage, Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, from his large group of followers, Jesus selected a smaller group of 12 men, and these he called apostles, or sent ones. This word comes from the Greek word apostello, which means to send forth someone with a commission, with a task, with a job, with a mission. It was used by the Greeks for the personal representatives of the king, ambassadors who function with the king's authority and power. These apostles were given special power and authority from Christ to perform miracles. And by the way, I saw an ambassador the other day wielding his power and his authority, and was quite effective, by the way. The ambassador from China. He was getting peppered with hard questions, but he came back cool and calm and collected, representing China with all of its power and authority. The interviewer asked him what did he think about President Trump and the battle between President Trump and Congress. And with all of the eloquence that a man from China who can barely speak English, he ran back and told the interviewer, the American interviewer, the truth of the matter is we don't know what is going on with your government, nor do we want to know what's going on with your government. An ambassador has the power and the authority of his country, and those of us who are called by God, by His grace, to be ambassadors for Him. What a privilege, what a joy divine, what an honor. And by the way, to qualify to be an ambassador for God obviously does not take much. You just need to be a sinner. Because notice some of the names and some of the people that God had called, Jesus Christ had called to be sent ones, apostles, ambassadors for Him. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, he was a fisherman. And Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas was a doubter, and Matthew was a tax collector, a publican, hated by the Jews, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now Judas could have gotten saved and could have gone on to be an ambassador, but he became a betrayer, as we have that tribe increasing in the church today and in families today, by the way. Anyway, back to Dr. Worsby, who is now home with the Lord, who served his present age well. I believe millions of messages have been preached by millions of preachers, from the simple writings being used by this man of God, Dr. Warren Worsby. Anyway, even though he is dead, yet speaketh. He said these words, these miracles were a part of their official credentials. They healed the sick. including all kinds of diseases. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. And even raised the dead. These four ministries, if you will, paralleled the miracles that Jesus performed in Matthew 8 and 9. In a definite way, the apostles represented the king and extended his work. They were ambassadors. So while we are not apostles in the New Testament sense of the word, even though we do have thousands of folks who claim to be apostles, because we are addicted to titles and not to Christ and his work in our day and time. Everybody wants a title. They can't get one in the world, so they come to the church for a title. Everybody wants to be a pastor. Everybody wants to be an evangelist. Everybody wants to be a prophet. Everybody wants to be a deacon. Everybody wants to be the first lady. Or lady. Archbishop. Apostle. I know one lady, bless her heart. She's an apostle. She's a bishop. She's a pastor, she's an evangelist, she's a teacher, she's everything. He said, how do you know she's that way? How do you know those are her titles? Because that's what she has on her paperwork, on her letterhead. And little do these people know that God never intended for any of us to go around seeking for titles or even having a title. It's not about the title, it's about the job that you're supposed to be doing. Are you doing the work of an evangelist? You don't have to be called an evangelist. We need to call you the same thing we've been calling you. Your name is Susan. Your name is Bill. Okay? People who are doing the work that God has called them to do, they don't get caught up with titles, man. They don't have time for that foolishness. People making up titles. That's not what it's about. But each of us here today are ambassadors and representatives of Christ. It is our job to preach Christ, to share Christ to the world around us, and declare that the kingdom of God has come. However, we cannot do this without power from on high. We cannot be effective witnesses without power. Power is not shown in how loud you can get. Anybody can get loud. Demons can get loud. People jumping up around a fire, worshiping the devil, get loud. Everybody gets loud in the club in the black and dark night. I'm talking about the club that does not open till 12. Back in the day, when they would mark the schedule for the club, they would say 12 until. That means until the last drunkard is dancing on the floor. Oh, we got loud back in the day. Young people getting loud today, old people too. People get loud at concerts. People get loud at football games. And the other night when Kawhi, however you pronounce his name, flew from the free throw line and dunked over the Greek freak, folk just went crazy loud. So it's not about how loud you can get in church, man. It's not about how far you can run in church. It has nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with God. Paul didn't take off running. He didn't get so happy when he couldn't make the message plain and clear. There's no account of Jesus running around the temple. Woo! Peter didn't haul off and start shouting when he was preaching to the thousands on Pentecost. Okay, that's all stuff we do. That's not in the Bible. It's not about how much noise you make, how much you work. It's about light and heat. Are you fired up and ready to go for Jesus? And are you showing forth your little light that should be shining so that people can see the gospel way? Not you show off running around the church. And these same people, bless their heart, who run around the church on Sunday morning and run all the way down the aisle with a dollar in their hand to slap it on the pulpit, on the altar, need to go running around a track. They don't run around a track, nor do they run on a treadmill, but they want to run in church. That's the only exercise some of these people get. It's nowhere in the Bible. Don't get mad with me. It's time out for all that foolishness, people. Shouting and running and making a lot of noise and don't understand anything, don't know anything, and not living anything. Amen, somebody. It's nothing but hypocrisy. Phoniness, bringing attention to yourself, is all about you. It's not about Jesus at all. Do you shout like that at the house? No, because there's nobody to see you. Be that as it may, that is why the text reads, he gave them power. Power. The greatest preaching that I've ever heard has been by preachers who have stood flat-footed behind the pulpit, sometimes who read the sermons, sometimes word for word, in a monotone fashion. One of the greatest preachers in America is Dr. John McNeil Jr. He's not flashy at all. But I guarantee you, you will know what the message was after you leave there, and it will stick with you all week long and all of your life. Because he had the power of the Holy Spirit in his preaching and on his life. It makes a difference. We need power of the Holy Spirit. Too often, ladies and gentlemen, we try to carry out the Lord's evangelistic and harvesting work in our own power, in our own strength. My life's verse, I don't know why God gave me this as my life's verse. Everybody has a verse, if you've been saved a while, that characterizes your life or speaks to your heart in a certain way. Mine is Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor by power, that is human power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. By my spirit, saith the Lord. By my spirit, saith the Lord. And oftentimes, the Lord's spirit will speak to us in a still, small voice. I recall one time I was over in England, and I was in Liverpool, where the Beatles came from. You say, well, preacher, did you go see the Beatle Museum? Yes, I did. Say, preacher, you ought not have done it. Well, I did it. You say, preacher, did you like it? Yes, I did. But that's not my point. My point is, I was in a little church that Sunday morning. A beautiful little church. And it happened to be a Methodist church. I'm not a Methodist. But that was the church, the only church that I was able to get to that Sunday morning. When I walked in the door, I sensed the power of God. The power of God. When I walked in the door, that let me know somebody had been praying, or this is a praying church. And everybody who is saved, who's been in a church like this, the singing had not started. The singing had not started. People were just mingling and fellowshipping. The preaching had not started. And immediately I sensed the power of God in the place. I did not expect to sense it like that, because after all, this was just an old Methodist church. But God moved mightily in that service in a powerful way. The Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of the people. It was absolutely amazing. And this church had a Sunday night service, and I was back at the Sunday night service as well. We had a, as they say, a wonderful time in the Lord because of the power of God. And the power of God, beloved, comes down through prayer. And through prayer, the confession of sin, the repentance of sin, turning away from evil, which cleanses everybody who confesses sin and repents and makes us fit for God's use and God's fellowship. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Sadly, so many churches don't have that kind of power. Can you imagine people praying without ceasing throughout the week, and people walking to the door and coming to conviction by the power of the Holy Ghost? And they get saved before the preaching even starts. They get saved before the singing starts. We think that our man-made strategies and methods are all we need to win lost souls and fill the church pews. But if that were the case, our society would not be seeing the number of people attending churches declining and churches shutting down at alarming rates. I appreciate the Southern Baptist people. One of the reasons why is because they are transparent, for the most part, about the condition of their denomination. They tell the world up front every year what the deal is. And every year, for the past 10 years or so, they admit that the people who are supposed to be going to their churches, the numbers are declining. At this point, I wish they would just go ahead and keep that to themselves, because they've been honest about it for years, and evidently it's a trend that's continuing, and they don't need to keep telling everybody about that. But that's their business. Be that as it may, it's sad that that's happening. But not only with the Southern Baptists, but with all denominations, the numbers are dwindling. North America is quickly emerging as the next great mission field. Why? Because our efforts often lack power. I've been overseas. I have preached the gospel in many countries, and there are many countries who feel sorry for us. They pity us. They don't understand the confusion going on in the church. We have it all, they say, and yet the church is so anemic. There are literally people leaving their countries to come to America to be missionaries, to try to save the church and try to save lost people. That is happening as I speak. At the back of all successful evangelistic efforts must be the power of Almighty God. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. if anything happens, it's going to be because of God Almighty. Yes, God will use us as instruments, but that's about it. We don't bring anything to pass. You know you can't lead a lost soul to Christ by yourself with your great persuasion abilities. You know that. Stop fooling yourself, dear friend. You said, well, preacher, I passed by a church the other day, man. They had a crowd out there. Yeah, that's half of those people come from other churches and have no intention on being members there. They just go. Probably some kind of entertainment-based church. As one man said today, this past week or so, that most churches are based upon entertaining people. People love to be entertained. They love stories, they love videos, they love movies, and so it's just like going to the movie for them. And the poor kids have never been in church, that's why they're leaving the church. They go to the playground so the grown-ups can go to the real church and concentrate on God while the children go to hell playing. Excuse me. You say, preacher, I don't like you. That's all right. You don't have to like me. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Just like the message. Hear the message. And get your heart right with God. I'm way past people liking me, obviously. It's not about me. I'm dead already. I know you don't understand that, but I'm dead. Been dead a long time ago, man. It's all about Christ. We cannot move forward except in His strength, in His might, in His power. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, which resides in every believer, will give us the discernment and wisdom that we need when facing the spirit of the world, the spirit of the devil, and the demons of hell residing in non-believers. The Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible defines power as the ability to do things. Amen, somebody. Some of us think that the power is about feeling something. I feel a tingle coming down my spine, all the way down to my kneecap. Ooh, I felt something. But what have you done, man, woman? Is there one person in the church of God, because of your witness? Are you discipling anybody? Have you led anybody to Jesus? Are you proclaiming the gospel like you should? Are you bringing in the sheaves or helping to bring in the sheaves? What have you done, man? It's not about no tingle down your spine. In fact, most great work for God has been done without the tingle, man. No tingle. No tingle, baby. No tingle, man. You don't get no tingle. It's by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That means not by feelings as well. You don't see anything, you don't feel anything. Every now and then, God will get a little wheel turning on the inside, and you're shouting in the car. You're shouting in the shower. All of you who like to sing in church, has your wife ever heard you sing at the house? Has your husband ever heard you sing? You great singer, you? The ability to get things done. The ability to do things. That's what power is, man. By virtue of strength, skill, resources, or authorization. That's the definition. How often have we set out to do things for God only to see them fail? Instead of doing things for God, let us aim to do God's work through the power of God, by the power of God, and for the glory of God. For His praise and for His honor, He gets all the credit. all of the glory and the praise, and we get none. Are you happy with that? You should be. William Penn said these words, "The fields are white to harvest. The grain is falling fast, and soon the time of reaping forever will be past. Come over then and help us. The harvest bells do say, come quickly to the rescue. This call we must obey. Then do not tarry longer. Make haste, the bells do say. As everywhere they're ringing, work while 'tis called today. Then let us pray and labor until the end we see, till every friend and neighbor from Satan shall be free and born again and saved. Let them be." Amen, somebody. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your holy word today. We thank you for the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us your strength and your might to carry on the bloodstained banner, to carry our cross, to endure, Lord, towards the end, and by your grace until the end. Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will have mercy and grace upon our souls as believers. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, of not depending on your power to do your work, the great work, the grand enterprise of evangelism. And we pray, Lord, that all day long today, all week long, you will help those of us who are truly saved and born again to pray without ceasing, to pray for the power to come down, the power of your Holy Spirit to break the hard hearts and the stubborn wills and open the blinded eyes, that millions would hear the gospel and be saved and set free. Millions of Christians will be revived again, and they will serve the Lord once again with gladness, not with sadness, not with a spirit of drudgery, but joyfully and cheerfully. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have, everybody, from the Pope on down, everybody has broken the laws of God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is rather a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. It is a terrible punishment. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sin. It's an ugly thing. Our bodies go to a grave in the earth. Our souls, if we die unsaved, if we die without trusting Christ as our Savior, we go to an eternal dark hell that burns forever and ever, and the fire is never quenched, the Bible says, that Jesus Christ said. The fire is never quenched. Where there's weeping and crying and wailing and gnashing of teeth in the halls of hell. Now I know that you probably don't even believe that death exists because you have not died, and you believe that you're going to live forever. You don't think you're going to die. It's just the lady who died yesterday who got shot, or the man who got hit by a car yesterday. They die, but you're not going to die. But as sure as you're looking at me, you're going to die. And just like you don't believe that there's death, you don't believe that there's a hell. See, because if you understood that there was a hell to shun, you would shun it. Because hell is bad news. Hell is a very terrible place, a place of torments, a place of an agonizing, painful memory, a place of fire and heat and darkness and pain. Jesus Christ believed that there is a hell, for he created it for the devil and his angels. He did not create it for us as human beings. But if we act like the devil and look like the devil and do evil like the devil, we will go to hell with the devil. There's no other place for you to go but to hell. Jesus Christ said, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a terrible place. Here are some people who will go to hell. In the book of Revelation, in the Holy Bible, 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you find yourself in that list? These are they who are in hell. These are they who will go to hell. God does not send anybody to hell. He's done everything he could possibly do to save you from hell. He died for your sins and for mine. So hell is bad news. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to perish in hell. You can have everlasting life by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever includes everybody, anybody at any time in the history of the world, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on Christ today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. This is good news. You don't have to go to that other place called hell. You can go to heaven because God sent his only begotten Son to take your place, the sacrificial lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. All of our sins are gone. All you have to do is believe on Christ. What a great deal. What a great opportunity. Don't be foolish and not take advantage of this. It is free. You can't pay for it if you you don't have enough money to pay for this gospel. You couldn't pay for it with $1 trillion, $10 trillion. It's free. You don't have to work your way to heaven. All you have to do is trust your way to heaven by trusting Christ as your Savior. If you're willing to trust Christ as your Savior tonight, pray with me right now. I will help you with the simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith that he suffered, bled, and died for you, was buried, and rose again. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by committing such sins as lying, as stealing, lusting after people and things, taking your holy name in vain, dishonoring my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. By your grace, your mercy, and your love, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and received Jesus Christ into your heart today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved. Until next time, my beloved. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why.